You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
You could not pay me enough to go back and relive high school. It's a horrible time. Nobody lets you into clubs. You can't order a beer. If you try to buy cigarettes, people look at you sketchy. You can't vote. Yet, if you're at the right age, you might be able to be drafted. I don't know. It was a terrible time. As some people like to think, oh, high school was so great. I wish I could go back. That's fucking terrible. I mean, if you had a great high school experience, I'm happy for you. That's good. But no one in their right minds wants to go back to that horrible, cliquish, conformist, trying to keep up with everybody else kind of nonsense. It's only as an adult do you realize, wow, that shit is so not important. And yet, there is that moment in your life where this stuff does feel really, really important and it has an impact on the rest of your existence. And every once in a while, somebody does a movie that tries to kind of capture that weird fluctuating state of adolescence. I'm talking about a movie called 18 to Party. Contrary to the name, it's not some big, crazy, laugh-out-loud teen romp, but it is interesting. And to join me to discuss this movie, I have some also well over 18 and ready to party guests. Harmony.
Hello.
Trevor.
How's it going?
And of course, Jordan.
What the what is life anymore? What are we doing here?
Let's fucking rage.
The parents fucking lied to us. Oh, hey, guys.
Ah, yes. I know you had some feels watching this movie. Look, this is the story of, and it's hard to identify a particular protagonist, but on one evening in 1985.
No, 84.
A bunch of kids hang out behind, 84. A bunch of kids hang out behind a club. And they're waiting for hours to get in, even though the club hasn't opened yet. There's not a line yet, but you have to be 18 or over to enter. However, this is one of those, I guess, underage shows where they'll allow adults to go into the club. And if there's enough room, then they will consider letting in some underage people, so long as they don't drink. So all of these kids want to go into this place called Polo's, which is apparently the place in high school to go hang out. And it's really just about them hanging out behind this club, talking about their experiences and, you know, their past together.
The comparison that I've seen at a couple of different websites is The Breakfast Club meets Waiting for Godot, which I thought was, I wish that was mine. I wish I could take credit for that, but I thought that was particularly apt. I mean,
it literally feels like they just came from school. Like, it was 3 p.m., the bell rang, and they all hauled ass over to there. And I wasn't thinking Breakfast Club. I was slightly thinking Waiting for Godot. And I was like, I hope I'm not the only one that's thinking this. Thankfully, I'm not, apparently. And yes, this title is misleading as hell, because I didn't look up anything before we, watched it. I just thought, oh, 18th Party sounds like a fun time. Woo! Jesus Christ.
This is a very bleak movie.
Your kind of fun is deep, introspective, mulling about the futility of life, as you do as a teenager.
This kind of reminded me of Suburbia, the Bogosian film and play, which also featured a bunch of kids just hanging out in front of a parking lot of a convenience store. It's one of those things that if you're that age, chances are you don't have wheels. You don't have a way to get around.
You don't have money.
You can't go to too many places. if you're in a kind of relatively small town, and I get the impression that these kids are kind of in a small town, there's really nothing you can do other than like ride your bike and hang out with your friends. I've gone to small towns at like 2 a.m. and seen kids hanging out in a parking lot of a convenience store because that's the only place they have to hang out. And of course, once you hang out with your friends, you talk amongst one another.
Well, yeah.
The town in Stranger Things at least had an arcade.
An arcade, that's true.
But you got the impression that that was a new thing when they got it. Nothing happens like that in this particular town. But they do have some kind of punk rock club that does allow some minors to enter. I think it's very telling that we're told the name of the club. We're never told the name of the band they're there to
see.
They don't have any particular interest in what they're going to go see. I don't believe for a second any of these kids, the way they're dressed or you know, behave. I don't think they're punk rock kids, but it is just this rite of passage. I'm finally able to get into this club. That's the important thing.
Looking for something to do.
Yeah, and as we find out about the kids, and it's going to, forgive me, because there's a lot of kids, and I'm not going to get them all right. I know Tanner Flood, who was in Moonrise Kingdom, he plays Shell. He's kind of the closest thing we have to a protagonist. He's kind of a dorky kid. He's there with his best friend, Brad. There's a couple of nerdy dudes there who are being really annoying. All of these kids go to a high school that is experiencing a spate of suicides. They're referred to as the Brighton Seven. And all of these kids are talking about why is this happening? What's going on? It kind of ties into some relevant conversations that we're still having today. Why these kids reach this point where they take their own lives, whether it's for peer pressure or they're closeted or they're abused at home. We never really get an idea what's going on at the school, but it hangs over all of the things these kids talk about.
Yeah, to the point where they even get facetious about what a suicide pact is or how someone is like, two of those kids do get so nerdy where even I'm like, dude, shut the hell up. God damn.
Well, and that's a good point, Jordan, because the kids annoyed the shit out of me at first, which I think throws back to what Marco was saying in the beginning, where I would have eaten this up with a fork and a spoon when I was this age. This is the type of movie I wanted to make in high school. And so this really would have hit me. And now that I'm, you know, knocking on the door of 40, yeah, these kids just were grating on me, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Yeah, it's something I chalked up to not being a kid anymore, but as the movie goes on and you get those backstories and you find out about these tragedies and it starts to build its world, their motivations become a lot more clear, and you really do start to feel for them. You realize that this guy is being a hambone for a reason, and it's a very good reason.
And you also have the friend who shows up, Lanky. We're told that one of these characters had a brother who died as a suicide. That kid shows up, apparently having done something so horrible that no one can even agree what it was. We build all of this mystery to this character of Lanky, who shows up obviously stoned and kind of looking to party and cause some trouble, even though he should not be there because he is clearly has experienced some horrible trauma, and his friends react to him very strongly.
And he's having a psychotic break.
Trevor talked about the world building, which is a weird thing to say in a movie that seems so determined to be a slice of life, everyday kind of thing. Hovering in the background, kind of both literally and figuratively, is a bunch of UFO sightings that have occurred in the area. And so and this particular night, all of the parents have gathered like at a community center to discuss these UFO sightings as though it's perhaps like some kind of serious health issue or whatever.
Right.
And none of them are paying attention to the fact that all of their kids are out at home, even to the point where the kids are like, hell, none of my parents know where I am right now. Which is another thread that runs through all of these stories. That era of latchkey children. The idea of a helicopter parent really didn't exist quite
yet.
Late
90s.
So kids were pretty free range.
Free range children.
I mean, they're hanging behind a filthy club, it literally sitting on dumpsters surrounded by broken glass. I mean, they're with drugs somewhere on the periphery and no adults in sight.
I didn't want to bring up Lanky again because I was mesmerized by James Friedson Jackson, who plays him, because
He's a weird-looking kid.
Okay, you said it, not me. yeah. I mean, he's got bug eyes. Anyway. He's sort of like that force of nature character you sort of see in these things.
They're almost like, not Deus Ex Machina, but very...
They're sort of mythical.
Right, they're mythical.
This is like Waiting for Godot, but Godot actually shows up.
And is high as fuck.
And he's high as fuck and kind of annoying.
And tragic.
And kind of exposing some of the rough edges everybody's experiencing.
Lanky, he goes from annoying to school shooter tendency in like 0 to 60. Just, dude, you were so gonna Columbine your school at some point. It was gonna happen.
And all of his friends are scared of him.
Yeah, exactly. And again, those type of characters and this sort of thing are usually a standout. And he is here. But I think, for me, my favorite performance is Ivy Miller as Kira. The sort of...
She's a proto-goth chick. She just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah, pretty much. She's just missing eyeliner and the boots. And at some point, you're even gonna say, okay, then why the fuck are you here?
Yeah.
Just... fuck off.
Because there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do.
Which I think is one of the highlights of the movie. Because she's constantly picking on this other girl that apparently they used to be friends with.
Sort of.
When they were children. And then she kind of just lays it out like, dude, we were never friends. We were two girls the same age in the same town. So we ended up doing stuff together, but we weren't friends.
That whole scene is heartbreaking, yeah.
I mean, this is such a hard film to synopsize because nothing happens plot-wise. Mm-hmm. The big plot reveals are really just moments of character. When these kids who've known each other their entire lives, we're talking about like 14, 15-year-old kids, not a whole lot in their life going on.
No.
And yet, everything at that age feels important, feels formative. One of the characters, Shell, is obsessing over the fact that, you know, he got a bad grade on a quiz, and that means he can't be an honor roll student anymore. Whereas his friend Brad, who is kind of dealing with his own trauma and is a lot wiser than some of the other kids, just tells him, like, dude, eighth grade is nothing.
Yeah.
No one's going to care about eighth grade. He's like, how can you say that? He's like, because I know dudes in college... and they never talk about 8th grade.
Other than that's the deepest pit in hell.
Yes, I know. I've seen that movie.
That line made me think, oh, Bo Burnham probably has something to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do gotta say, that realization, you know, has also been at the forefront of my mind, too. It's like, you know, I know a lot of these people, but I just don't really know them. We are in the same fucking homeroom. And... I'll put my cards on the table. High school was fucking miserable for me in so many ways. And I've only kept in contact with a handful of people, but mostly just ones that either weren't assholes to me or have apologized and actually wanted to, you know, mend fences. There hasn't been many of that, but...
I don't mean any disrespect to anybody on this review. Or anybody who might be listening. But the simple fact of the matter is, people don't get really interesting until they're in their 30s.
No.
That's true.
Most people, especially teenagers, are pretty vacuous. They're unformed. I know. I was one. I could see myself in all of these kids at some point. The kid who's trying too hard, or the kid who thinks he's cool but isn't, or the kid who's obsessing over shit that's not important. And when you're that age, you have nothing else to compare it to. It's only with hindsight that you start and go, okay, that was an important night in my life and I didn't know it. Or all that other shit I thought was important turned out not to be important at all. And it's kind of a miracle that they captured that essence in a movie like this. It took me a while to warm up to it. I had to go and look a little bit of information up on the writer-director of this. He's a guy who's had a career for a long time, but mostly working behind the scenes, a guy named Jeff Rhoda. I mean, he's been like a continuity person or executive producer and things like that. Or I think he's been like art department. Basically, he's been an all-rounder, but not a writer-director. This is, I think, his first writing-directing feature job. And sure enough, I kind of nailed it. I said, this movie has to be by a guy who's about my age. you don't make a story set in the 1980s that's like this unless it somehow connects to your own personal history, which is what I think this probably is. This feels almost like a memoir. Like, here's one night in my life, except I've taken out any genre trappings except for one towards the end. I'm not using genre to sell it. This is just a human slice of life drama with a little bit of humor and a little bit of magical realism towards the end. This is a guy writing about his childhood and how it wasn't as big a deal as he thought it was. And yet, in hindsight, it was very important.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, but I don't know how... I don't know if a young person would watch this movie and go, I get this.
For me, I just kind of felt it's a short movie, but it took a lot for me to get into it. Like what you were saying, Marco, is that it was... You kind of have to warm up to it, and once you kind of realize what's going on, you end up with some really poignant moments and just a real feeling of... Fucking teenage years suck, and it doesn't get better for a long time. And I felt for these kids, but super enjoyable. Yeah, you know, I'm not sure.
Well, and part of I think what helped me engage with it, because obviously I had that problem too, where I'm not in eighth grade anymore. This stuff does not matter to me. I don't care, you know, what happened at Doak's party last night. But they drop so many things like that, like so-and-so's party, or Bobby around the corner, or, oh my god, Jill is here. And it's very in media res, and you're trying to make the connections and figure out what is actually going on. Where at the beginning, you don't even really know where they are. That is something you have to figure out through conversation and through dialogue. And so that helped me engage. There was a little detective story at the beginning, and then by the time we got to some of these more revelatory moments, that's when I engaged with it on a more emotional level.
Trevor, why don't you go ahead into your final thoughts, please?
This is something that I think I am going to get more out of on a subsequent viewing. Now that I know where it's going, now that I kind of know the flavor and what it was trying to do or what it was trying to be, I think I'm going to get more out of it on a subsequent showing. And I think this is going to be a movie that's going to sleep on some people, but I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it. And I look forward to that second viewing. I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 angsty teenagers.
Jordan, give us your final thoughts, please.
I will say I never really had a night like this. I never had this sort of experience, mainly because the hometown I grew up in, sadly the same one I'm living in, fucking sucks. And also, I really didn't have that many friends nor means to get around. But it was still relatable in a lot of ways, because I still honestly had these sort of conversations. I've had these interactions, these experiences in one way or another, just mainly in the 90s and 2000s, since I was born in 89. You know, missed out on all that. I just thought the movie was poignant in a lot of ways, even if sometimes I was thinking, God, someone give these kids some cocaine to cheer them the fuck up.
Need some speed.
I thought the performances were really good. Several great character moments. In a lot of ways, it can still be relevant to what's going on today. To you know, with the youth scene and such. And again, it does sort of get magical, realistic towards the end, which I'm not still too sure on. I mean, I overall like the movie, and I agree with Trevor. I actually look forward to watching this again, since I know what's ahead and how we get from point A to point B to point C, etc. I'm going to say 7 out of 10 old newspaper copies that you find in the dumpster.
Harmony?
For me, I kind of remember feeling like I had these kind of nights as a teenager where you feel like, oh, this is really important and it's going to shape who I am. And, you know, I don't know anybody from middle school anymore, and I don't barely know anybody from high school anymore. So it really doesn't matter, guys. If anybody young does watch this, it stinks. Kind of going through that. But that being said, I really like how poignant it was and how kind of mature without aging the kids up too much, like putting them in situations that were way too adult or anything. It felt like, you know, these are your basic 14, 15 year olds without feeling like, oh, let's go into a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, maybe a little drugs, but and a little rock and roll, apparently. But I think it's worth it if you had any kind of experience in high school, if you ever had those moments that felt really poignant or that it was going to change your whole life. And then just to realize, like Marco said, you don't really get interesting until 30. So, you know, it's going to be fine. So that being said, I'm going to give it 6.8 out of 10 funny cigarettes.
There's a lot here to like. I think the cast is a standout. Most of them have a lot of television and film credits, yet are young enough that you haven't seen them in a lot of things, which means they don't get to bring their baggage to the movie. It feels like you've just dropped a camera and a film crew behind a small nightclub in the Midwest somewhere. And actually, this was shot in upstate New York. But either way, small town America. It's just a fly on the wall kind of situation. I think that's going to tax a lot of people's patience because it has this sort of verite style. And at times, so aggressively so that when it gets dark, it just gets dark. Wow, you guys clearly didn't have a big lighting package for this film because there are moments that are hard to see. Mm-hmm. But it's also exactly what it would look like behind a club later in the evening as the sun is setting and the streetlights haven't come on yet. It's kind of awkward in that it feels very intentional, but also feels kind of slapdash and amateurish as well. I have to assume that was an intentional choice on the part of the filmmaker. The kids are worth watching. I do think it's going to be hard on some people who expect a lot of action, who expect a lot of humor, who expect a lot of, you know, slapstick. This is really a group of kids hanging out, having some frank conversations that have some humor, that have a lot of poignancy to them, as Jordan has pointed out, and will resonate with a lot of people. You kind of want to give all of these kids a hug at the end and just say, dudes, it's going to be fine. To agree with something Trevor said, this might have some legs. It might pick up an audience as they become acclimated to it and they give it that second and third viewing. I could see some people really digging this. But if you're willing to experience some slow cinema with some well-drawn characters who are so realistic that they actually do get on your fucking nerves because in real life they would, that's a credit to the writing and the performances. This is worth checking out, but I can't give it a huge recommendation. I'm going to have to give this 7 out of 10 cartoon drawings on notebook paper. I mean, if I had known as a kid that I would still be hanging out behind bars in my 40s, I wouldn't have believed you. But at least now they let me go through the front door.
Sort of. Sometimes. I think they try to keep you out, though, Marco. I meant to tell you that.
Well, they usually ask me to leave by the front door.
Oh, okay. You're not carried out anymore.